Here we are at the beginning of the third section of Living Simply and Loving It. The essence of voluntary simplicity is summarized in the classic book, Living More with Less. So far we've considered Cherish the Natural Order and Do Justice. The next life standard is Learn from the World Community. Join your hands and make a circle with your arms in front of you. We have a great deal to learn from people in third world countries, people we may think of as primitive or even pagan. Most of them live simply by necessity, not by choice. Our attitude has largely been that we want to help those people, those poor people, with their problem over there. We need to realize that their problem is caused by our problem over here, our problem of overconsumption. All things are connected. One beautiful way to learn from the world community is through music. Several years ago, a black bishop from Africa told a story that I'll never forget. He said, "White folks, yes, they're the people who can sing and not move at the same time." African music can help liberate white North American Christians from their rigidity. I've heard that North America and Western Europe are losing 6,000 Christians a week. They're not going to another church. They're falling away from the faith. But in Africa, Christianity is gaining 20,000 converts each week. We have something profound to learn from our African brothers and sisters. People from our highly technological medical establishment are now seeing the potential of learning from people we used to call witch doctors. We're learning natural cures from the rainforests. We can also learn about food. Here we have a system called vertical integration. This is the process in which one of our most powerful resources, food, becomes monopolized. The people who sell the food also own the distribution system and the processing plants and the growing places, the farms. We may not be able to stop this from happening, but we can vote against it with our dollars by shopping at farmers' markets, through CSAs, that's Community Supported Agriculture, by refusing to buy out-of-season fruits and vegetables, by learning to glean. 1/4 of all food in the U.S. is wasted in restaurants, grocery stores, refrigerators. We can resist the rush to genetically modified foods. We can tell agri-industry that we will not be a part of their experiment on the human race. We can demand that such foods be properly labeled. We can learn more about community by doing menu planning, meal preparation, and cleanup together. And we can vow that we will eat at least one meal a day together. So much of the time, we have allowed schools, the community, TV, even the church to take away our common meal. Research indicates that a typical in-home American father has only 3 minutes a day of direct conversation with his child. An American couple that is still married has only 5 minutes a day of meaningful verbal exchange. Learning from the world community about food is important for another reason. We Americans eat and die from too much expensive, highly processed food. Many of its nutrients have been processed out of it. Why? It's convenient. It's a cycle. We work more hours so we can afford more expensive food that's fast so that we can work more to buy more hollow food. Get the picture? Alternatives promotes cookbooks that use simple, tasty recipes from third world countries, such as More with Less Cookbook and Extending the Table. Let's eagerly learn from the world community. The next standard is nurture people, not stuff. The body symbol is hug yourself. We find meaning and happiness in life not through stuff, but through our relationships. A relationship within ourself, with other people, with God, and with God's creation. Picture this. We put ourselves at risk by going into a mall. We start hyperventilating. We have found the thing that is going to give excitement and fulfillment to our life. We whip out our credit card and take our treasure home. It's great for a while. Then something else comes along that we can't live without. So what happens to our first little lifesaver? We either chuck it or store it. If we keep it, we have to dust it or put batteries in it. We have to maintain it, and we surely wouldn't want anyone to steal it, so we secure it, we protect it, we lock it up. So we go into debt to buy it, then we use our time and energy to maintain and secure it. That raises the question, who owns whom? Yes, it gives a new meaning to the concept of ownership. If we let them, the things we own would own us. I'll tell you what works for me. I play a game with myself that you can play with your children or grandchildren. It's okay to admire things in stores and say, I like that. I like that. I like that. It's not okay to say, I want that. Think of the mall as a museum. Everything there is on display for your pleasure, but somebody else is responsible for it. Say to yourself as you stroll through the galleries, thank you, store person, for putting this here for me to see. I'm so glad you're responsible for all this stuff, and I'm not. Nurture people, not things. Let's use our time, money, and energy to nurture relationships with ourselves, with others, with the earth, and with God. The last standard is non-conform freely. Hold up your hands at shoulder level, palms away from you. Not as I surrender, but to say, stop. Non-conform freely does not mean we're talking about anarchy. We're resisting the pressures created primarily by advertising. The forces against us living more simply are extremely powerful. Some are downright devious. Some of them are quiet, unwritten, like how we dress in church, how our house will look at Christmas time. But many of them are loud, in-our-face forces that work to get as deeply into our pocketbooks as possible every day. We all have basic physical needs, for food, for shelter, and so forth. It's helpful to have information about where we can find and meet those needs. That's one reason for advertising. What's objectionable is advertising that creates false needs, really wants or desires. That happens when ads start playing with our heads, trying to make us think that we will be a better person by the beverage we drink, that we will be a sexier if we buy a certain kind of car, that we will be more popular or successful if we wear certain kinds of clothes or perfume. The purpose of advertising is to make us dissatisfied with what we have, so that we'll go out and buy more. I called a friend recently. While explaining Alternative's mission, I started talking about the effects of advertising, especially TV. I told him that when I watch TV, I zap the commercials. That is, mute the sound. I'm really put off by aggressive car and soda pop commercials. He said he considered them the price of admission. I replied, that's exactly what they want you to think. The airwaves belong to the people. We owe the advertisers nothing. In this spirit, I invite you to join us in celebrating Turn Off TV Week in April and Buy Nothing Day, the Friday after Thanksgiving. Some advertisers are trying to capitalize on people's desire for simpler lives. Recent commercials use the simplicity theme. An expensive luxury car is hyped with a picture of the Honda Acura and the word simplify. Denny's restaurants use the slogan, simplify your life, eat out more. MBNA America, a huge credit card processor, proclaims, simplify your life in the new year, consolidate your holiday bills. A typical MBNA account pays over 17% interest. Their credit card checks, a form of the dreaded cash advance, have no grace period. Interest begins accruing immediately. At the same time, their late payment fee has gone up from $10 to $20. These are the masters of doublespeak. A magazine called Real Simple, published by the same folks as In Style magazine, is an advertising vehicle for more high-end stuff. Real Simple is fake simple. In the name of research, some advertisers, without your permission or even without your knowledge, Place cameras in grocery stores to photograph your eyes as you shop. When you're looking at cereal, for example, the cameras record your reaction to various boxes and even record the amount of time you focus on each box. This so-called research helps advertisers decide what appeals to you. Their philosophy is, whatever works, use it. The key to advertising is repetition. Every time we see a logo or hear a jingle, that's one impression. Can you guess how many commercial impressions an average North American sees or hears in an average day? 16,000. Logos are created to build brand loyalty, but they can end up being status symbols, encouraging competition, and peer pressure. Yes, we are up against tremendous forces. Some of the brightest people on the planet, trained in psychology and anthropology, are working not to be helpful, but to convince you to buy more stuff. Advertising agencies and big business pay better than mental health centers and universities. We have permission to follow our religious principles, our faith, instead of our culture, instead of advertisers who pressure us to buy things we don't need, probably don't even want, and the breakdown on schedule. Non-conform freely. Let's say what overconsumption really is. It's addiction. And as with many addictions, it is powerful. It takes great willpower, faith, support, and tools to beat an addiction. It can be done. In our society, we are working with numerous addictions, like the war on drugs. The difference is that the addiction of overconsumption is not only condoned by our culture, not just allowed, it is encouraged, fed, promoted by peer pressure and by advertising. We are told it is patriotic to buy, that our economy depends on it, that we are worth it. Here's a personal example. Think of one of your own. I have suffered an addiction most of my life. It may seem harmless, even beneficial. It surely can't compare to the biggies like alcohol and tobacco. But it's an addiction nonetheless, and I am struggling to overcome it. For 40 years, I was addicted to music. I built an enormous collection of scores and recordings. For a while, it gave me a sense of security to be surrounded by all this beauty. I could easily justify it. I could play it in church. I was enriching myself. I was growing aesthetically. Actually, I was hoarding. I had a need to own, to possess, as if that was going to make me or anyone else a better musician. And now, after several years of effort, I've given away my library to several colleges. This example is part of a larger plan. Rita and I have vowed that we will reduce our possessions by 10% per year for the next 10 years so that we're ready for retirement. It can be difficult finding a good home for some of our possessions, but by and large it's very rewarding, and not nearly as hard to do 10% each year than to try to do it all at once, or to leave a mountain of stuff for the kids to deal with when we're gone. It is time-consuming, but rewarding to feel the burden of stuff lifted from our shoulders. For help in dealing with the addiction of overconsumption, Alternatives offers 12 steps to a simpler life, inspired by the 12 steps of AA. I share the view of Alan Derning in How Much is Enough. Voluntary simplicity is an important piece in solving the world's problems. For ourselves, it stresses relationships rather than stuff. We really can live fuller lives with less consumption. For others, more resources are available if we're not using them up. I hope that you're already doing many of the things we suggest. Feel affirmed by that. Then move on and focus on the ideas that you have not yet adopted. Ask, how can I also make these new ideas work in my life, in my family's life, together? Meditate on the concept of enough. Proverbs 30 is a key. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that I need. In 2 Corinthians 8, we have the example of the early church. The one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. Ask, do I think a world where everyone has enough is a part of God's vision for humanity? This is the end of Section 3. Section 4 talks about alternative giving. For now, consider these questions. 1. In what ways do I already learn from the world community? What other ways exist for me? 2. In what ways do I already nurture people, not stuff? What other ways are open for me? 3. In what ways do I already non-conform freely? What other ways exist for me?